हसनैन का अली का पयाम्बर करसता, हसनैन का अली का पयाम्बर करसता, है एक फातिमा के बड़े घर करसता, हसनैन का अली का पयाम्बर करसता, ओ अपना लिया है मैंने जो हैदर करसता, अपना लिया है मैंने जो हैदर करसता, जिबड़ी ले पूछते हैं बड़े घर करसता, अपना लिया है मैंने जो हैदर करसता, जिबड़ी ले पूछते हैं मेरे घर करसता, हसनैन का अली का पयाम्बर करसता, ओ पूछो अली से क्या है मोहम्मद की मंजिले, पूछो अली से क्या है मोहम्मद की मंजिले, ओ दरिया ही जानता है समंदर करसता, हसनैन का अली का पयाम्बर करसता, ओ ये शोक जा निसार की मेरा जही तो है, ये शोक जा निसार की मेरा जही तो है, जो एक का है वो है बहतर करसता, हसनैन का अली का पयाम्बर करसता, ओ बिनते असद से हज़रत जिबरी लेने कहा, ओ बिनते असद से हज़रत जिबरी लेने कहा, ओ दीवारे काबा तकती है हैदर करसता, हसनैन का अली का भगवान में बुलंद सलावत।
जनाब अली अब्बास नकवी और जनाब जाफर नकवी से दरख्वास्त है कि मरसूख खाने के लिए तशरीफ लाएं।
नारे सलावत। चार मिस्टर पेश करते हैं। कहीं हशम कहीं शाबे बन गए ज़ैना, कहीं हशम कहीं शबे रबन गए ज़ैनब और कहीं बादीन की तस्वीर रबन गए कहीं पादीन की तस्वीर बन गए मगर यजीद के दरबार में खुदा की कसम मगर यजीद के दरबार में खुदा की कसम अली की बोलती तस्वीर बन गए ज़ैनब कहीं हशम कहीं शबे कैसे कहूँ एक इमाम वक्त को मैं सरबा कैसे कहूँ और अजमतों के अर्श को कैसे कहूँ अजमतों के अर्श को मैं आसमां कैसे कहूँ और जिसने की हो ज़हन आलम को तवाना ए अता जिसने की हो ज़हन आलम को तवाना ए अता अरे मैं उसे अपनी ज़बान से ना समझ लोगे मुसलमान नो पयंबर कौन है खुद समझ लोगे मुसलमान नो
पयंबर कौन है
अरे खुद समझ लोगे मुसलमान नो
पयंबर कौन है
अरे पहले बस इतना समझ जाओ के हैदर कौन है, खुद समझ लोगे मुसलमानों पयंबर कौन।
एक और मतलब पेश,
अरे तुम अभी तक भी न पहचाने के हैदर कौन है, तुम अभी तक भी न पहचाने के हैदर कौन है, अरे ये तो बुत भी जानते हैं दस्ते दावर कौन है, खुद समझ लोगे मुसलमानों पयंबर कौन।
और शेर पेश है गाइस भाई,
अरे ऐ अबू तालिब तेरी इस गोद पर लाखों सलाम, है अबू तालिब तेरी इस गोद पर लाखों सलाम, सबसे पहले जिसने पहचाना पयंबर कौन है, समझ लोगे मुसलमानों
पयंबर
कौन है,
अरे सूरह कौसर हजारों बार बामानी पढ़ो, सूरह कौसर हजारों बार बामानी
पढ़ो,
अरे तब कहीं जाकर ये समझोगे के असगर कौन है, खुद समझ लोगे मुसलमानों
पयंबर कौन।
अरे बाटने बैठे शबे आशूर जब जन्नत हुसैन, अरे बाटने बैठे शबे आशूर जब जन्नत हुसैन, अरे दी सदा तकदीर ने हुर्रे दिलावर कौन है, खुद समझ लोगे मुसलमानों
पयंबर कौन है,
अरे जब फरिश्ते मुझसे पूछे गे बता अपना ईमान, जब फरिश्ते मुझसे पूछे गे बता अपना ईमान, अरे चीर कर सीना कहूंगा देख पढ़ कर कौन है, खुद समझ लोगे
मुसलमान।
आखिरी शेर पेश,
पयंबर कौन है,
अरे हाथ मलती फिर रही है क्यों बहन अब्बास के, अरे हाथ मलती फिर रही है क्यों बहन अब्बास के, जाने इस जलते हुए खैमे के अंदर कौन है, खुद समझ
मक्ता पेश
मुसलमानों
पयंबर
कौन है,
अरे गोदियों में माओ की
کرتے ہیں جو ماتم رضا گودیوں میں ماؤں کی کرتے ہیں جو ماتم رضا ارے کون بتلاتا ہے ان بچوں کو سرور کون ہے خود سمجھ لوگ مسلمان آپ تمام حضرات سے درخواست ہے ایک مرتبہ سورہ الحمد جناب رضا سرسوی صاحب مرحوم کے لیے ایصال کر دیں اور تم حاضر مجلس کے تمام مرحومین کے لیے سر لے کے شہ کا شام کو جب اہل شر چلے غل تھا کٹا کے سر کو شہ بہ روبر چلے گھر کو لٹا کے اپنے وہ شیریں کے گھر چلے اور اہل بیت پیٹتے ہمرائے سر چلے اور اہل بیت پیٹتے ہمرائے سر چلے ارے جب زہر کو لشکر اہل ستم گیا اور جس نے زے پر حسین کا سر تھا وہیں ہوئے آدھا کے سب پا نیزوں کے نیچے اہل حرم گرد اشقیا بالائے کو رہتی تھی شیری جو با وفا ارے تھی یاد شاہ دل میں جو خواب کو آ گیا ارے دیکھا حسین کو کہ وہ مہمان آتے ہیں ارے لیکن عجیب شکل سے تشریف لاتے ہیں لیکن عجیب شکل سے تشریف لاتے ہیں ارے گھبرا کے اٹھی خواب سے شوہر سے یہ کہا جا زیر کو اترا ہے فرزند مصطفیٰ خوش خوش چلا مکان سے وہ مرد با صفا پہنچا وہ زیر کو تو دیکھا یہ ماجرا ارے خیمے بپا ہیں اور ہے کثرت سپاہ کی ارے ایک سو سے آ رہی ہے صدا سو سے آ رہے دو بند ہو رہے صدا آہا آہا کی ارے ناگاہ زبان موجزے سے بولا شہ کا سر مہمان کا سلام لے اے مرد خوش سیر شیریں کنیز خاص ہمارے ارے کیا میرے آنے کی نہیں اس کو ہوئی خبر ارے بعد السلام کہنا کہ تجھ کو بلایا ہے ارے تو جس کی منتظر تھے وہ مہمان ارے شیریں گئی وہاں تو یہ سامان نظر پڑا نیزے پسر حسین کا تاباں نظر پڑا کنبا نبی کا باسرے اور
نظر پڑا
ہر ایک غم سے چاک گریبان
نظر پڑا
ارے سر پیٹ کر پکاری کے یارا
دعائی ہے
ارے یہ تو میرے حسین کے گھر کے
صفائی ہے
ارے پھر نیزے کو پکڑ کے یہ بولی بشور شین آغوش میں کنیز کی اب آؤ یا حسین چھاتی سے سر لگاؤں تمہارا
تو آئے
ارے منہ کو کلیجا آتا ہے زہرا کے نور ارے سینے پہ میرے ہائے چھری غام کی
چلی ہے
جلد آئیے کہ جان میرے اب
نکلتی ہے
ارے بالاتفاق کہتے ہیں راوی بسد بکا نیزے سے اترا روتا ہوا سر حسین کا شیریں نے دوڑ کر اسے
آغوش
ارے بس منہ سے اتنا نکلا کہ آقا
تیرے فدا
ارے اللہ رے و غش اللہ رے و عشق عجب کام
کر
سرور کے منہ پہ منہ کو رکھا اور مر
گئی
سر لے کے شہ کا شام کو
September to 11 September, Hujjatul Islam Maulana Hamza Sawed Qibla recited the Majalis in English. آج کی مجلس جناب علی عباس نقوی اور جعفر نقوی نے اسپانسر کی ہے اس لیے ان کے خاندان کے مرحومین اور خاص طور سے ان کے والد اور والدہ کے لیے سورہ فاتحہ نوحا علی نقوی پڑھیں گے ٹمارو یعنی تھرسڈے 12 سپٹمبر نماز مغرب 7:40 8 PM حجت الاسلام مولانا حمزہ صدر قبلہ ریسائٹ دا دعائے کمیل 8:30 سلام آپ ٹو مرسیا اینڈ مجسٹر. آئی ول ریکویسٹ ٹو حجت الاسلام حمزہ سودگر قبلہ ٹو ایڈریس دا مجلس.
اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان اللعین الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین بارئ الخلائق اجمعین باعث الانبیاء والمرسلین والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا و نبینا و حبیب قلوبنا و طبیب نفوسنا و شفیع ذنوبنا ابی القاسم المصطفی محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. For his health and well-being, let's recite the second one louder. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of our Imam. Let's recite the third one even louder. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. The theme that we said we're going to have in mind and discuss over the course of these few nights is Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi and the aftermath of Karbala. While we focus on Karbala and what the Imam and his family accomplished in Karbala, and we see Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi in Karbala as well, it is important to, at times at least, visit and discuss and think of what Imam Zain al-Abidin did given the conditions of the aftermath of Karbala. This is important in many ways, the most basic of which is that this is our Imam and we need to know who he was, what he did. And once we know what each of the Imams did, they said, they performed, then we can start looking at our own times, our own lives, what's happening around us, and when we see parallels between their time, our time, what they went through, what we're going through, then we can see how we are supposed to be imitating and following the example of those Imams. The first thing to discuss and to try to understand is what is meant by the aftermath of Karbala. I think there's some misconceptions regarding the aftermath of Karbala that need to be picked out and we need to correct in our understanding. There are two areas when we discuss the aftermath of Karbala that we shouldn't lose sight of. If we see one side, if we see one aspect, if we see one dimension, we should also see the other dimension, the other aspect, and not only see it from the first perspective. One aspect, one dimension that is generally seen, but it's not a complete picture, is a dimension of the failure of those who called Imam al-Hussein to come to Karbala, and They said, we will join you, we will help you, we will assist you. The fruits are ready, the planes are ready, the land is ready. We are ready, our swords are ready for you, and so on and so forth. They failed to deliver. And this is very clear. I think this is something that's focused on many times, discussed. Plenty of speakers, scholars have discussed. And obviously that's true. There's no question that is true. The reason why Karbala ended the way it did is because they failed to go and assist the Imam. They said, we pledge that your life is before ours, to his representative Muslim ibn Aqil. And then one morning, everyone's behind Muslim ibn Aqil. By nighttime, Salatul Isha, no one's behind Muslim ibn Aqil. Another congregation is formed, led by Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad gets all those same people behind him praying the Jama'ah prayer. Well, this is a failure. Along with this dimension, this aspect, within it, we see the massacre of Karbala. This was a big massacre, a very severe instance of the greatest people on the face of the earth being treated in the way they were. And this is also part of the same dimension, the same perspective, to see how when they didn't assist, the Imam, who is oppressed, mazloom, left alone, gharib, is treated the way he is by Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, who was never with the Imam, Umar ibn Sa'd, and the rest of the people who were there. Along with it, again, another piece of that, from the same perspective, looking at the same aspect, is how the family of the Imam was treated after the Shahada of the Imam, being taken to Kufa, from there, from city to city, to Sham, showing off their victory in their own mind. This is one perspective, one aspect, one dimension of what happened in Karbala and the aftermath of it. The aftermath of this, from this perspective, is failure, is loss of important lives. If we only see Karbala in this way, from this angle, from this perspective, and the aftermath of it to look so gloomy, it's hard to imagine what the next Imam is left with. On one hand, it's hard to imagine any victory for Imam al-Hussein. Once you start looking at it as only that, it's really hard to say, why did Imam al-Hussein go through that? Was that really suicide? Some, unfortunately, perhaps less educated, less knowledgeable, or less understanding of the language, speakers have used even that word. Was that really, if there's no objective, if there's no outcome, if you're not accomplishing anything, if your blood being spilled doesn't accomplish anything, then don't spill it. That's exactly why Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayhi didn't go towards war. If he would have gone towards war, towards battle with Muawiyah at the time, it wouldn't have accomplished anything. It was easier. Imam al-Mujtaba is seeing so much betrayal, is seeing so much misbehavior, so much wrong from the people that are supposed to be closest to him. It's easier to just leave this life. He has everything waiting for him in the hereafter. Why stay in this world? Let's just fight, let them get rid of us. No, but that's not going to accomplish anything. That's what is called suicide. If our depiction of what happens in Karbala only focuses on people not coming, not joining, not sacrificing, not being willing to sacrifice, not helping the Imam, not coming to Karbala, or even not allowing the Imam to end up in Karbala. If they would have stopped Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi when he was still with Yazid's camp, if they hadn't stopped him, or if they had stopped him rather, then the Imam wouldn't have even ended up in Karbala. And whatever, if we only look at this, then it's hard to really imagine what was the accomplishment of Imam al-Hussein. There's a statement Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi used, and he repeatedly used this line not just as a slogan or a memory of the past or talking about Imam al-Hussein at his time or any of that. Rather, something that is a lesson for today, for the things that happened. You know, there's a lot of blood that has been shed since the advent of the revolution. In the course of the revolution occurring, post-revolution, right after it, there's issues, there's separatists in Kurdistan, separatists in Khuzestan, separatists in Azerbaijan, in Balochistan, in Turkmenistan, or the Turkmen region of Iran, northeast of Iran, all these things, and then 8-year war, and then after that, assassinations, this, that, the other, and then Syria occurs. You've seen what happened, the Lebanon War 2006, you saw how many men, women, and children, innocent people, all these people, all this blood is being shed, right? This lesson from Karbala, Imam Khomeini used to use this term, Piruzi khun bar shamshir, the victory of blood over the sword. Blood is shed. It seems, apparently, that the person and the people that were defeated in the battle, they were defeated. They lost the battle. They were killed. Their family was taken as captives. Apparently, who's the victor? Who won the battle? Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, la'natullah alayh, Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullah alayh, Shimr ibn Dhul Jawshan, la'natullah alayh, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, la'natullah alayh. It seems they won the battle. But the blood of Hussein, the way he did it, what he did, what he set out to accomplish, how he did it, the decisions he made, the blood of Hussein won. Yazid was defeated. Ubaydullah was defeated. Now we have to try to analyze this aspect, this dimension, and see that aftermath of Karbala. What did Imam al-Hussein accomplish in Karbala? Imam Zainul Abidin salamullah alayhi is the next Imam. He's going to build off of where Imam al-Hussein left off. Just like Imam al-Hussein built off of where Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayhi left off. What's the aftermath of Karbala? The positive side. The accomplishment of Imam al-Hussein. What is that? What did he do? Recite a salawat, please. Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayhi, in putting himself in that condition, in bringing his family, and the family continuing from there, being taken as captives, the objective was, as another great scholar has presented, Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him and give him a long life, he's mentioned, that this was like a giving. You know, when a person is, God forbid, so we're in conditions that, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of this. People go through treatment in the hospital, and then they get to a state where, God forbid, their heart stops beating, and you need to shock them. A person who's dying, their heart is not beating. You try to shock them to give them a heartbeat. Okay. Imam al-Hussein was giving the ummah of the Prophet a shock to get that heart beating again. An ummah that's dying, that's how the direction was. All the organs are going to start to fail. The heart, when it stops beating, then all the other organs are eventually going to stop. You got to have the heart beating. This is a nation that's moving in that direction and the heart is barely beating or it's gone through a heart attack. That's the state of the ummah at the time of Imam al-Hussein. This shahada, the news of the shahada of Hussein, the killing of Hussein, that very news, that very negative, ugly, unfortunate scene of Hussein, that the enemies of Hussein were trying to celebrate by taking the family of Hussein and showing them to everyone, that very image was the shock factor. The perpetrators did not realize what they're doing. They thought, Yazid thought, oh, this is the only enemy that I have left, the only one who's standing against me, the only one who's not willing to pledge allegiance, so on and so forth. We'll get rid of him, that'll be the end of it. La'ibat Hashim bil mulk. Banu Hashim are playing with government, nothing is true, none of the Wahy, none of the, nothing, no revelation, nothing came. That was their view. He expressed it, apparently. He expressed it. It's poetry from Yazid there. They thought, okay, this is the last breath. We're killing off Islam. Imam al-Hussein knows that the condition is not that the whole body is dead, the body is brain dead, all the organs are malfunctioned, there's nothing left, and then it's all gone. No. Other things are functional. There's still elements of faith there. It needs a shock. Imam al-Hussein said, okay, I am not going to pledge allegiance. I will not sign a treaty. Imam al-Hussein signed a treaty with Muawiyah. He signed a treaty. He was willing, under the imamah of Imam al-Mujtaba, together though, they went, they signed a treaty with Muawiyah. Imam al-Hussein this time said, there's no treaty, there's no nothing. No pledge of allegiance, no bay'ah, nothing. If you want to kill me, فَيَا سُيُّفْ خُذِينِ Swords, come and take me. This shahada is a shock factor. The ummah of the Prophet, there are elements within it that can, if the body is already gone, no matter how many times you shock that body, it's not going to come back. There has to be some readiness for the body to come back. Imam al-Hussein recognized that. And the only thing that's going to revive this dead body of the ummah that's dying and the process of dying is this shock, the killing of Hussein. The news of the killing of Hussein, especially the way it was. And again, the enemies did this by their own hands. They took Zainab salamullah alayha. They took the head of Imam al-Hussein. They paraded them, thinking that this is celebration. They don't realize when people come to know this is the grandson of the Prophet, when Imam Zain al-Abidin in Sham stands up, gives and delivers that very fiery sermon, at which time the whole assembly, the whole celebration, the whole scene is now changing to something different. They want to silence the Imam. They want to shut him up. They're like, oh, Adhan time has come in. People who don't care about Adhan or Muadhan, please call the Adhan. Why? They want to silence Imam Zain al-Abidin. His talk is that effective in Sham. Imam Zain al-Abidin takes advantage of that as well. He says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the Muadhan. Imam Zain al-Abidin shouts, Yazid, is this Muhammad your grandfather or mine? People know this is the grandfather of Hussein ibn Ali. This is the grandson of the Prophet whose head is being put on a golden plate in front of the feet of the Mal'un Yazid. This is a shock. In Sham, things changed. There are accounts, initially when we saw some of these accounts, we're like, is this really true? And yeah, it makes perfect sense. They say Yazid came to the household of the Prophet and said, where do you guys want to go? I'll provide all the means to wherever you guys want to go. And they said, we want to go back to Karbala. And they went there for Arba'in, right? Why did Yazid do that? Is that really true? Yazid doesn't care about the... Yes, it is true. And the reason is the scene changed completely. Yazid thought he's going to bring them, he's going to celebrate this great victory. It turned into people questioning, what the hell are you doing? Are you the Khalifa? This is the grandson of the Prophet? This is how you're treating them? You said they're Kharijis. Now this companion, that companion, who the people of Sham know, they may not know the face of Imam Zain al-Abidin, but this companion, the other companion, Imam Zain al-Abidin tells them, they go around, this is the family of the Prophet, this is the Ahlul Bayt that the Quran says, إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى I'm not asking for any type of reward except for being kind to my qurba. These are the qurba, they've slaughtered them, people. And the scene changes. Yes, of course, now he's going to try to change things up. He's going to try to make people feel like, and therefore you've seen, and you've probably heard, Yazid started blaming it on Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. So it wasn't me, I didn't tell him to do this, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad did this. Of course it was you. Your mal'oon self said to do that. This is riya. He was saying these things, he was lying about it to make people feel like, he wanted to distance himself from the crime. Now, it's not a matter of celebration any longer. This was something, a matter of celebration. In a matter of a few days of the Ahlul Bayt in Sham, and on the way to Sham, the ummah of the Prophet gets news of the slaughter of the grandson of the Prophet. This affects and shocks the ummah. Even before they arrived in Sham, the city of Mosul, one of you heard, the city that is not known to be kind to Shia. Not that they're against, but they're not known to be kind to Shia. It was the city that fell to Daesh, the major city that when they attacked Iraq, the major city, the biggest city they were able to take over was Mosul. It says when they were taking the family of the Prophet, the family of Imam al-Husayn salawatullah wasalamu alayhi towards Sham, they took the long route because they wanted to go to these major cities and show off their victory. News got to Mosul. Mosul came to know who these people are. They say, we don't want you to parade them in our city. They still didn't fight Yazid at this point, but they weren't willing to allow the family of the Prophet to be paraded as captives of war, the heads of the grandson of the Prophet and his family being paraded in the streets of Mosul. People received that, the shock that Imam al-Hussein wanted. This has happened. The after effects of that shock, even though some of them, for example, the Tawabun, there's an instance, those who didn't participate in Karbala, they had called on Imam al-Hussein, they felt the guilt after Karbala, and they went to fight Yazid, 4,000 people, they were all slaughtered. Okay. It was wrong, it didn't really make up for their lack of participation in Karbala. Those 4,000 people being in Karbala, it would have changed everything. It wasn't entirely right, but it was still a positive effect of the shock had happened. If Imam al-Hussein during his time, before his shahada, wasn't able to get 4,000 people to come to Karbala, with his shahada, he got 4,000 plus people. Not just 4,000, this was one event. There is a certain level of vigilance, a certain level of awareness, public awareness, that Imam al-Hussein created right after and with and because of the massacre of Ashura and Karbala. The news of it getting out. Okay, I keep saying that because that also involves Imam Zain al-Abidin and the lady Zainab salamullahi alayha. But it's also related to Imam al-Hussein because Imam al-Hussein designed it in that way. When they asked him in Medina, why are you taking the women and children? You want to go by yourself? You're going to be slaughtered. Why are you taking women and children? He said, Allah wants to see them as captive. Why? God enjoys them being tortured? No. Because that captivity is part of the mission of Hussein. Part of Karbala is for them to go through the hardship of being paraded in the cities while they watch the heads of their beloved before them, above all Imam al-Hussein reciting Quran on a spear. The difficulty of seeing that, speaking what Imam al-Hussein wants them to speak, this is sending the right message, explaining what really happened, showing to the people what really happened, creating that show. This is in our discussion, the most important element in the aftermath of Karbala that I want to depict and I want to show in briefly, of course, obviously. I don't know, hopefully this isn't the first time you've heard it. It was a reminder, hopefully. And if it was, think about it and hopefully you'll hear more about it. Read into it, look at, try to find material on this. The awareness that is created that the government is moving in the name of Islam, is moving in a very, very wrong direction. It cannot be trusted. This awareness causes people to look for alternatives. Any alim, any speaker that is promoting this government, now people are questioning, do we listen to this person or not? They're looking for alternatives. And therefore you have people coming searching for that alternative. One of the students of Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi is Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. Abu Khalid, as his name goes, he is Kabuli. Kabul is in Afghanistan. That's on the borders pretty much of the Muslim empire at the time on the east. It's way out there compared to Medina, even compared to Karbala. It's way out there. It's very far. And they're relatively newer Muslims. These are relatively new conquests that have occurred. Abu Khalid makes his way to Medina in search of an alternative. Initially, he ends up with Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah. the brother of Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayh, someone who unfortunately was claiming imamah after Imam al-Husayn despite knowing that's not the case, someone who didn't participate in Karbala, someone who objected Imam al-Husayn going there, all these wrongs that he did, is now claiming imamah, and he has a following. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, with this claim, is able to draw in one of the people who is seeking an alternative and looking for the truth, Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. Of course, since Abu Khalid, rahmatullah alayhi, this great man that is less known to us, Abu Khalid was a real truth seeker. He was seeking the truth. And therefore, although he spent time with Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, and according to the account in the Rijal books, it is explained he spent years with Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, but he started having doubts, and therefore he went to him once, and he said, I swear by Allah, tell me the truth. Are you really the imam or not? And of course, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya has lied already. He should have just said, yeah, I am. But because he was seeking the truth, Allah put on the tongue of Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya to say that, no, I am not at that point. And the imam is Ali ibn al-Husayn. And from that point onwards, that's when Abu Khalid transfers over. He moves over to the camp of Imam Zain al-Abidin, starts studying under Imam Zain al-Abidin, becomes a student, an alim, a spiritual guide, a guided person, an arif, and in a very unusual way, Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi sends him back to his region, somewhere around Kabul. The main city that was known in his area is Kabul, because many times the cities that people were known as being from were not necessarily the city they were born in. It was sometimes a smaller city, smaller town, village around it, but the major city was mentioned. So Kabul might not have been his hometown, maybe some of the villages, towns around it, but that region, that area. He is sent over there and he starts his work over there. The result we see decades later, the vengeance of the blood of Imam al-Husayn starting from Khurasan are the people that are trained by Abu Khalid al-Kabuli, rahmatullah alayh. Now, this is pretty much the aftermath, a little bit of what Imam Zain al-Abidin did. We want to discuss what Imam Zain al-Abidin did. This was a historic account, Abu Khalid. We're going to deal with this man a little more. He is an important person in that period in terms of what Imam Zain al-Abidin did. It's important for us to look at what Imam Zain al-Abidin did in this context. Not instead of looking at Imam Zain al-Abidin in the aftermath of Karbala with a lot of tragedies, with a lot of grief, crying, ill, always just remembering Karbala, just doing dua, sitting at home. No, Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi is Ali ibn al-Husayn. He is the son of the same Husayn that said, I will never pledge allegiance to Yazid. He is the same Husayn. He's not just the son of Husayn. He's the same Husayn that was willing to have his head on a spear and not go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Imam Zain al-Abidin is very active, very proactive, very involved. In fact, as we have hadith about all our imams, they ask, you've heard the title that we think is the title of the 12th imam, Qa'imu Ali Muhammad, the upriser of Ali Muhammad. We have hadith, they kept asking, who is the Qa'im? The imam said, all of us are Qa'im. Which of the imams is not Qa'im? You think Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayhi, who signed the treaty, he was not Qa'im? He sat? No, he sat from government. He didn't sit afterwards, do nothing at home. He laid down the foundations of Karbala. If it wasn't for what Imam al-Mujtaba did over the course of those 10 years, there would be no Karbala in the way it happened. Imam al-Mujtaba was laying the foundation. Imam Zain al-Abidin is also very active. He carries the flag of imamah, the banner of imamah, for those years, and hands it over to Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayh. It's important for us to look at this period and having seen that, no, Imam al-Husayn accomplished something, and Imam Zain al-Abidin is not just commemorating the grief and remembering. No, he is the imam. He's following. What is it that he did in the aftermath of Karbala? Tonight, briefly, I don't think we have much time. Maybe, hopefully, this will only take 10 minutes. We'll have a total of 40 minutes. One of the first things that Imam Zain al-Abidin, salamullah alayh, did was what we already mentioned, and I'll elaborate on this a little more. And that is keeping the memory of Karbala alive. This started right after Ashura. Right after Ashura, Imam Zain al-Abidin, and the one who is seen, of course, leading. There's an interesting account I found from the mother of the 11th Imam, the grandmother of the 12th Imam. Salamullah alayha. There's a lot of great women we have in our history that we don't hear too much of. We haven't. She says there's an account, she was in Medina when the Imam went into occultation. And she mentions there, it's a long story, I don't want to get into that. She says that Zainab, salamullah alayha, was the figure, the seen figure, the to go to figure in person after Imam al-Hussein to protect Imam Zain al-Abidin. The leader is actually whom? Imam Zain al-Abidin. But who do you see on the front line? Zainab salamullahi alayha. Who's the one that speaks out more than Imam Zain al-Abidin? Zainab salamullahi alayha. Who is seen more? Zainab salamullahi alayha. Imam Zain al-Abidin. In order to protect his life, Zainab salam. But who is the imam? Imam Zain al-Abidin is. Who's the leader? Imam Zain al-Abidin is. Zainab and imam, under the leadership of Imam Zain al-Abidin, the first thing Imam Zain al-Abidin does is to make sure that he keeps the memory of Karbala as it was alive. Get word out. Get people to know about this. And this was not something that he was going to do just on the way to Sham and on the way to Karbala and from Karbala to Medina, upon entrance to Medina. This was not something that he was only going to do over there. He continued that. If you hear that Imam Zain al-Abidin would remember Karbala every time they would slaughter a lamb, he said, "Have you given water?" He said, "Yes, of course." "So why are you asking?" "Of course we're going to." He said, "Well, my father was slaughtered in Karbala. The thirsty mouth." Why did Imam Zain al-Abidin do this? He would purposely sit under the sun when shade was available. He would sit under the sun. "Come say, please, Yabna Rasulullah." Everybody knew this is the, in Medina at least people knew. "Please take a seat under the shade." Imam Zain al-Abidin said, "No. My father's body was left under the sun for 3 days." Well, why is he doing it? Is he just remembering it to feel? No, he's reminding people. Every opportunity, remind people, remind people. In fact, they made it a culture. The imam, starting with the first person who established the culture of Aza, is Imam Zain al-Abidin, salamullah alayhi. Imam Zain al-Abidin established this culture, and it continued on. The next imam and the following imam and all these ahadith that you hear, to the extent that Imam al-Sadiq teaches Alqama, he says this is the ziyarah you do on the day of Ashura in Karbala, then, because that's what Alqama asked. Alqama asked, "I want to go and visit Imam al-Hussein on the day of Ashura. What should I say?" Imam al-Sadiq, according to the account, explains to him what words he should use. That becomes ziyarat Ashura. Then the imam, without Alqama asking, the imam says, "Even if you're not in Karbala, read this ziyarah. Even if it's not the day of Ashura, read this." In other words, every day, any day of the year, we ziyarat Ashura. Thursday night, where do you go for ziyarah? Imam al-Hussein. The night of Qadr, where do you go? Imam al-Hussein. 15th of Sha'ban, the birth of Imam al-Asr, our 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, where do we go? Karbala, Imam al-Hussein. The day of Eid, remember Imam al-Hussein. Every occasion, remember Hussein, 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 Hussein. They established this culture. Why did they establish this culture? Why did Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi invite a poet? The culture of poetry for Karbala is introduced by the Ahlul Bayt, encouraged by the Ahlul Bayt. Imam al-Sadiq finds out the poet is in town. He calls him over. He sets up a stage, in a sense, in our language. And he asks him to recite. And he has the family, the women, everyone come, listen, cry, and then pay the reciter. Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi did this. Why did they create this culture? Because remembrance of Karbala is continuing Karbala. In what way? What do we continue Karbala? Did my head get chopped off? No. What does it mean to continue Karbala? Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi went to destroy and eradicate injustice. He went to establish what God said his grandfather was sent to establish. In the Quran, God says, "Huwa alladhi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa din al haqq liyudhhirahu 'ala ad-din kullihi walau kariha al mushrikun aw wa kafa billahi shahida." Two different versions in the Quran. One in Surah Fath, there's the other version in another chapter. The first part is the same. He is the one that sent his messenger bil huda, with guidance, wa din al haqq, the religion of truth, liyudhhirahu 'ala ad-din kullihi, in order for this to prevail over all others. Everything else is injustice. All legal systems that do not stem from Islam, do not come from Islam, the law that is supposed to be enforcing justice, that is supposed to be creating social justice, the law itself will create injustice. The law itself is a manifestation of injustice. And the one who enforces it, or those who enforce it, will be enforcing injustice. Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, when he says, "I'm going to revive the message of my grandfather and correct and reform the nation," he was bringing the nation back on the path of this, establishing this justice, this deen al-haqq, on the face of the earth. Imam al-Husayn, with his blood, he established that. He started it with remembering him, crying for him, doing poetry, reciting poetry about what happened there, who did what, for Islam, for Allah, they sacrificed, creating those emotions in us, giving us the teachings, the understanding, the knowledge that we need to sacrifice like Husayn did for that same purpose. Listen to the call of Husayn. Do you not see that the truth is not being acted upon? Every year, not once a year, not just Muharram, every Thursday, every Eid al-Fitr, every Eid al-Adha, every night of Qadr. All these occasions, Husayn should be mentioned. Shed tears for him. You keep remembering the words of Husayn. Do you not see Haqq is not being acted upon? Don't you see it around you? Next door, do you not see it? On the street, do you not see it? Is this Haqq? They don't care about the rest of the world dying from this virus. They don't care if even their own blood, white people in Europe, die from this virus. They stole masks from other nations who had purchased it from American companies. These are documents. Do you not see this? You remember Imam al-Husayn, you see all this happening? Do you not see what's happening in Afghanistan, what they did for 20 years? And what they're doing now? Just leave, man. Just leave. Leave it alone. You think if the Americans would leave Afghanistan alone, all this would happen after? No, they haven't left it alone. They left. They took their troops out. They took their troops out. This is really the great Satan. This is, as Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, any problem in the world, anything you want to shout against this great Satan. The United States of America, this government right here. Okay. That's what it is. That's the reality of the situation. Do you not see that? You remember Hussein in his call that even if I'm slaughtered, I will not give in to this. So that when you see this, they come and say, oh, they're going to knock on your door. They're going to say this, they're going to say that. They're going to send FBI to you. They're going to stop you on the border. They're going to sanction the organization that we sent our students to study under, to make them a terrorist organization. A university? Jamaatul Mustafa is now a terrorist organization? When they do that, you have two choices. You have the Husseini route that you beat your chest for, and you have the Yazidi route, or you have the silent route. Join the tyrant, or join the ones who said, well, you know, this, we're going to protect our families. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. Let Hussein be slaughtered in the plains of Karbala. The memory of Hussein, the reminders of Hussein, the tears for Hussein, the beating of the chest for Hussein, is to keep this spirit alive, to spread this spirit throughout the earth. If the people of the world come to know this Hussein, learn the path of this Hussein, rise for the same cause that this Hussein rose for and are willing to sacrifice the way this Hussein did, no tyrant can stand against the people of the world. That's why the culture of Hussein needs to spread. The name of Hussein isn't just those few letters that you can put up and then put some flowers with it, put something else, and then make the people feel like, oh, somebody was just killed 1,400 years ago. Well, there's a lot of people that have been killed throughout history. No, he wasn't a weak, beat-up person that was slaughtered, his family slaughtered, oh, boo-hoo, we cry. No, he was the most courageous man on earth, the strongest person on earth. Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas, as great as he is no match for the courage of Hussein. Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas is who he is because of Hussein. With firmness and courage he stood up. The companions of Hussein, they're outnumbered. They're less than 100. There's 34,000 on that side. They stand up. They introduce themselves. I am such and such, son of such and such. I'm coming forward. Whoever wants to come, I will take you to hell. How in the world, if, forget 34,000, if all of you stand and want to kill me, I'll just run away. I don't have the courage. I don't have the guts to stand here. 34,000 people, somebody swinging their sword, the other is throwing their spear, showing off their spear, making noise with it, just to remind this is who we are. 34,000, less than 100 here. It should have taken an hour finishing this group of people. Half a day, they came out. They caused fear in the hearts of the enemy. These are not weak people that just, oh, we cry for them. No, no. They had a mission. They were courageous. They were brave. They were capable. They were intelligent, more intelligent than the cowards. And us crying for them is crying for the atrocity against them because of our love for the greatness in them. We want that greatness to start developing here and here in our communities and globally. This is Ashura, this is Karbala. This is what Imam Zain al-Abidin, with establishing the remembrance of Karbala, is doing. This is why it takes a few decades, relatively, for the downfall of the Umayyads. You know, the Umayyads fell. 50, 60 years later, the Umayyads fell. Their dynasty was extended. Why? Because of Imam Zain al-Abidin. Because of Imam al-Hussein. But after him, if that would not have continued, if people didn't know what happened, if the reminders weren't there, if the culture wasn't created so that people constantly remember what happened in Karbala, Umayyas would have ruled for not 1,000 months in total, but 1,000 years perhaps. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more understanding and gives us that Husayni courage, that Husayni fearlessness, the spirit that makes you stand against anything without any worry, whether we live or we die. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, sallallahu alayk, ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي ومعادن الرحمن وخزان العلم ومنتهى الحلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed Ahlul Bayt. Sallallahu alayk ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayk ya Mazlum. أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam who was slaughtered by the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ruhi fadak ya Mawlai, ya Aba Abdullah. I don't know where exactly your family is these days. They have probably departed Sham, moving towards Karbala as Arba'een is approaching. But Ya Aba Abdullah, you know better. There was one person who stayed back. Your little daughter could not take your absence any longer. Ruhi fidaki. She cried for her father so much. Some have said every time she remembered her father, she would get hit. She would see her father's head on spears. How auntie is that my father? I want to see him closer. One night in Sham, it was too much for her. She cried so much, the mal'oon heard. He said, what's she wanting? They said, she wants her father. He said, well, why don't you send her his head?
Imagine Imam al-Hussein's daughter, while she's crying, they give her a plate covered, she removes it. Oh, father, where have you been? Why is your beard so red? What are these scars on your forehead? What's this dry blood on your lips? Oh, father, I cannot stand this any longer. Can you please take me with you? Every time I saw the little children in Sham holding the hands of their fathers, I longed for you.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا حسين.
سلام اس پر کے جو قیدی بھی ہے بیمار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو قیدی بھی ہے پاؤں میں ہے آبلے اور آبلوں میں خار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو قیدی بھی ہے بیمار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو آنکھ میں آنسو اور زخم جگر میں ہونٹوں پہ رضا کا نوحہ کرب و بلا سے ہائے شام تلک وہ کانٹوں پہ سفر کرتا تھا بے رضا سیدانیہ اس پر ستم بازار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو دیکھنے والی آنکھوں نے دیکھا اس راہ میں یہ بھی منظر ایک مسافر پابند سفر ہے خود اپنی لاش اٹھا کر یہ امام وقت ہے اور قافلہ سالار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو قریبی ہے بیمار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو خون رگوں کا یا غیرت ہاشم کہتی ہے جھکا لے سر کو توق سلاسل کیا قید کریں گے ہائے صبر کے اس پیکر کو سر اٹھائے کس طرح ہے راہ میں بازار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو قید ہو سلام دیکھ کے زینب سجاد کی حالت فریاد یہی کرتی تھی میرا یقین ہے ایمان ہے میرا اے شام کے بے کس قیدی روئیں گے تجھ پر صدا مسند بھی اور دستار بھی
سلام اس پر کے جو سلام اس پر کے جو
بیٹھا کہیں پر جب تھک کے مسافر چالیس شبوں کا جاگا نیند جو آئی بے کس قیدی کو دروں سے جگایا جاتا دیکھ کر رویا فلک اور زینب لاچار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو قیدی بیمار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو قریبی ہے بیمار بھی نو کس نا پر ہائے باپ کا سر ہے اس بات پہ دل بے قابو بے چادر ہے ناموس پیمبر ماحول شرابی ہر سو خون روئے ساربا اور سید ابرار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو قیدی بھی ہے بیمار بھی ہو سلام اس پر کے جو قیدی
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم السلام علیک نبی اللہ السلام علیک یا رسول اللہ السلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ السلام علیک یا باعث الہدا السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ السلام علیکم ابا عبداللہ السلام علیکم ابن رسول اللہ السلام علیکم ابن امین المؤمنین و سید وسین السلام علیکم فاطمہ زہرا سنیسا عالمین السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ السلام علیکم قریب و غربا السلام علیکم منظفائے والفقرا السلام علیکم نیس نفوس السلام علیکم سلطان عرب العجم یا علی موسیزا اراج قریب القضا السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ السلام علیکم صاحب آصف الزمان علمان علمان زمان السلام علیکم شریک القرآن السلام علیکم معذر ایمان السلام علیکم کفر طغیان السلام علیکم دافع الزمان نزل اللہ فرجک وصال اللہ مخرجک وظہورک السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا